Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Tet Vav. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. David Shriki in honor of the entire congregation. Today's daf is being studied by Eilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Today's daf is being learned at Fu'ah Shel Imam Moshe Ben Victoria. Amen. We are beginning on Daf Tet Vav, the second line, Gufa. Gufa is a statement that we had learned above. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, Yudhet Gazru, Ubi Yudhet Nehleku. We learned that there were 18 Gezerot, 18 enactments that were made by the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, and on those 18 they argued, which means Shammai the students and Hillel the students, they argued on all 18. And we said that the majority was in the house of Shammai, and therefore the 18 enactments follow Bet Shammai. So the Gemara asks the question, V'hatanya hushvu. We have a statement in the Braita that says Ushvu means they agreed, they were equal. That's to say that Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel did not argue. So the Gemara says Bo Bayom Nechaleku. No, on that day when they were in the attic, they argued. However, Ul Mahar Ushvu. The next day, as she says, Hazru Bayin Bet Hillel. Bet Hillel retracted their opinion and agreed to Bet Shammai. So therefore, it started off as a machloket, but then everybody agreed with each other. So therefore, it says in the Braita, Hushvu. That was on the next day. Comes the Gemara and says, Gufa. We learned above, Amar Rav Huna, B'shlosha mekomot nechleku Shammai veHillel. In three places, we saw that Shammai and Hillel, not Bet Shammai, Shammai himself, which means the original rabbi, the Tana Shammai, and the Tana Hillel, argued on three cases. And there's a misconception that Shammai and Hillel argued on everything, on hundreds of cases. And that's not true. The Gemara clearly says that the originals, meaning Shammai and Hillel themselves, only argued on a few cases. Actually, the Gemara says three cases. And the first one, the Gemara says, the Gemara Mekonim, like, Shammai Vedas, Shammai Omer, the first Mahloket, Shammai said, Mikav Hala, Vehilel Omer, and Hillel said, Mikabayim. Vahakamim Omrim, Lo Kedivreze, Velo Kedivreze, Ela Kav Umehsa, Hayav Bahala. We are discussing now the obligation to give Hala. The Torah says that when a person is making Hala, he's making a dough, certain measurement of dough, so he has to give a piece of it to the Kohen. Before he gives it to the Kohen, he makes a beracha, it's a mitzvat aseh from the Torah. So the discussion of the Gemara here is, what is the shi'ur? How much hala do you have to have? How much flour do you have to be obligated to take hala and give it to the Kohen? That's the shoot. How is this mitzvah fulfilled? How many, if we would say it in our terminology, how many pounds do you need? In the Gemara's terminology, they use the shiur of a kav. That was the measurement that they used to use in the olden days. Now, in order to understand these measurements more accurately, if you do have a pen and a paper in front of you, I would tell you to make for yourselves a chart that'll be useful to you throughout Shas when it comes to Shi'urim. It's the chart of Askelav Gudu. Askelav Gudu means you write an Aleph, you write a Samech, a Kof, a Lamed, and a Bet. Askelav, it's Rashi Tevot. The Aleph stands for Efa. That's a measurement of the Torah. The Samech stands for Se'ah. The Kof stands for Kav. the lamed stands for log, and the bet stands for betza. Those are basically all the shiurim. Again, it would be like we were saying, you know, we would say a gallon, a quart, a pint, etc. Different measurements. So these are Torah measurements. Underneath the word askelav, you would write in between the aleph and the samich, write the letter gimal. In between the letters samich and kof, write the letter vav. In between the letter kof and lamed, write a dalid. And in between the lamed and the bet, write a vav. So that would make askelav gudu. Now what is the second line? The second line gives you the conversion, which means efa is the biggest shi'ud out of all of them. So there's gimel se'ah in an efa. So the second line gives you the conversion. Gimel se'ah in an efa. And then the next word would be six kav in a se'ah. Four log in a kav. Six besah in a log. So that's the way you would remember. Now, the chart would also tell you, if you want to figure out how many betzim are in an ephah, ephah being the biggest measurement, betzah being the smallest, so according to this conversion, you would just times 3 times 6 times 4 times 6, and you would have the shi'ud of betzim to an efa. That shi'ud comes out to 432. There are 432 betzim in an efa. Now why do you have to know that? Because the shi'ud of challah is based on the shi'ud of efa. The Torah says that the shi'ud is asirita efa. One-tenth of an efa. So if you want to convert one-tenth of an efa into betzim, so if an efa is 432 betzim, so therefore asirit would be one-tenth, would be 43.2 betzim, which that would be 43 and a fifth betzah. That would be the shi'ud of challah. Okay, that's that is the shi'ud, as they say. Now, Hillel and Shammai argued on how much dough you need for the challah. Our Gemara says, Shammai said, mikav. So long as you have the shi'ud of a kav. Now again, a kav would be, there would be 4 lugin in a kav. That means you would have, let's say, 24 betzim, according to Shammai. 24 betzim, that would be the shi'ud of challah. While Hillel says mikabayim. Hillel says, no, you need 2 kavs. So which would mean double the shi'ud of Shammai, to be the minimum shi'ud to be obligated to give challah. Hachamim say, lo kedivrezeh ve lo kedivrezeh. They're in the middle. They say, kav u'mechsa. One kav and a half. Now one kav and a half. So seemingly that would be 36. Which means we said that a kav equals 24 betzim. Half a kav would equal 12. So that would bring you to 36 betzim. Only question is, I told you that the shiur of challah is 43 and a fifth betzim. Sasri taifa. Where did the rabbis get 36? And how could they minimize this shiur if they're basing it on the pasuk that says Sasri taifa? So the explanation is that there are different measurements here throughout time. In the midbar, the betzah that they were using to measure had a certain weight to it. Later on, in Yerushalayim, the measurements changed, meaning the betzah held more. And therefore you were able to take 43 and a fifth betzim and put it into the shiur of 36. Which means if the betzah got bigger, so therefore you could fit more
in less, because the betzah of the midbar was smaller, and the way that she tells us, the betzah of Yerushalayim, we'll call that midah Yerushalmit, the measurement of Yerushalayim was 1/6 the shi'ur of the midah midbarit, the midah of the midbar. So, if you look at your charts, just to see the breakdown in your Pirush Hai, in 152, we see the original Shi'ur Midam Midbarit. What you're looking at over here is a chart that has 7 Lugim. Each one of these columns represents a Lug. So there's 7 of those. Again, in each Lug, there is 6 Betzim. So 7 times 6 would be 42. Plus, you have an additional Betzah and a fifth, which would bring you to 43 and a fifth Betzim. That is the shiur of the Midah of the Midbar. However, Midah Yerushalmit, which is in picture 153, is what the Hachamim were talking about. The Midot changed. The Betzim got bigger by 1/6. So let's make a conversion by ourselves using simple mathematics. You have 7 log in Midah Midbarit. Well, let's make it simple. 6 log of Midah Midbarit would equal 5 log of Midah Yerushalmit. A ratio is 6 to 5. So therefore, if you have 6 logs, that it converts to 5 logs. Now, we have an additional log and a fifth Midat Midbarit, that would convert to 1 log of Yerushalmit. So therefore, 7 and a fifth log Midat Midbarit converts to exactly 6 log Midat Yerushalmit. 6 log, incidentally, is a Kav Umehsa, because 4 log equal a Kav. So that's what Hachemim was saying. When they said Kav Umehsa, they were referring to Midat Yerushalmi. So that would be 153 is the Shita of the Hachamim. Now the Gemara continues and says, Mishegdilu Amidot. The egg changed once again. The Midot changed yet a third time. And that was called Midat Sipori. Sipori was a place in Israel. So their measurements were a little different than the Midah of Yerushalayim. The egg got bigger again, that measurement. So where in Midat Yerushalmit they were able to fit it in 6 log, Midat Sipurim they were able to fit that same measurement in 5 log. Hence your picture in 154, you see Midat Sipurit, you have the Shi'ur of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 log, based on the fact that the Betzah got bigger. And the Gemara says that, Meshigdilu ha-Shi'urim, once the Shi'urim got bigger, maybe dot, Amru hameshet revaim kemach, they said, hameshet revaim, 5 quarters, technically, kemach, hayavim behala. Which means that she explains, what is this Hamesh Reva'im that she says? Hamesh Reva'im Lugin. Which means, you have over here 5 Lugin, She'en Rebi'ita Kav, which is a quarter of a Kav. So you see the Shi'ud over here in 154 in your picture, that again it went down, it went up by a sixth again. Are you able to fit 6 into 5? So originally we went from 7 to 6, and they went to 6 into 5. It's the same measurement technically, it's just as the shiurim got bigger, the conversion becomes able to fit more in less of a shiur. So that's basically the shita of the Hakamim. Rabbi Yose Omer, Rabbi Yose came along and said, He peturim. He said, now, 5 log of hala is patur. 5 log of, let's say, flour is patur from hala. He ve'od hayabim. 5 and change is hayav.
What is Rabbi Yose saying? Rabbi Yose is like this. Rabbi Yose says he has a different measurement of midah midbarit. We said based on the midah of the midbar, it will come out to 43 and a fifth betzim. He said that his way of understanding the midah of the midbar, each egg, each betzah was 1/20th bigger. 1/20th bigger. So therefore, just to make it the mathematics simple again, you have 43 betzim. So for every 20 betzim, you have another additional betzah, adding 1/20th to each egg. So 43 would give you 2 extra betzim plus 3/20ths of egg. So therefore, according to them, the shi'ur of halah from the Torah, or from the Hakamim, would be 45 and 3/20ths betzah. So that's a separate shita from the starting point, which is Hakamim, no, the starting point is Asiri Taifa. And Asiri Taifa is 43 and a fifth betzim. He comes along and says to Rabbi Yose, no, that's not the starting point. The starting point is 45 and 3/20ths betzah. That's the shi'ud. Now, again, once you have that shi'ud, fit it however you want. You want to fit it in midat Yerushalmi, in midat Sipori, whatever it is, but you're going to fit that amount into those shi'urim. If you look at your picture in 155, you see the shi'tav to be Yosef. He's using midat Sipori, meaning he has 5 log, but then he has a little additional piece over there. It's 5 and change. That change, if you look at Aleph on the bottom, bet betzim u'shlosha ve'odot. You have an extra 2 betzim and 3 ve'odot. And 3 ve'odot, 3 extra, so to speak. Which is really 3/20ths based on our shi'ud. Okay, so that's basically the shi'ud of halah based on the opinion. So the first machloket was in halah between Halil and Shammai, is it either Kav or Kabayim? And the rabbis argued on both of them, and they said Kav Vachetzi. Again, Rashid brings you, gives you all the mathematics. If you want to read, we'll read one Rashid together just to give you a start when you review, so you'll be able to know exactly what we're talking about. It should go smoothly now, but now based on our introduction. The top Rashid is Kavu Mehsa. This is Shitat HaKamim. Kavu Mehsa Yerushalmit. So right away, the rabbi's shita was in the Yerushalmit measurement. Now that she explains, Shein Zayin Lugin uBetza veHomesh Betza leMidah Midbarit, which is seven log and 1 betza and a fifth in Midah Midbarit. VeHu Omer laGulgolet, and that's the shiur that the Torah says Omer laGulgolet Asirit Haifa. Shehaya b'chala k'dechtiv arisotechem. The rabbi Chala says the word arisotechem, your dough, k'deh isat midbar. The shiur of the isat the midbar. Where was the isat the midbar? The man. And what was the shiur of the man? The man was asri taiva. That was the dough that they used. Ve'osifu shtut b'Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, the eggs were measured by a shtut. Shtut is a sixth. Which means they got bigger by a shetut. Shetut is a sixth. Nimsa, and she just gives you easy math, shesh midbariyot, 6 lugim of midbarit, nichnasot v'chamesh Yerushalmit, will fit in 5 Yerushalmit. Now we have 1 log and a fifth left over in midbarit. So he says, ve'log ha'nishar, u'betza, v'chomesh betza, the 1 log plus 1 egg and a fifth left over, olin le'log Yerushalmi. It'll be a straight log Yerushalmi, based on the conversion. She'alog midbari, because the midbar one, shisha betzim nichnasim b'hamisha. Again, if you take a log has 6 betzim. So 6 betzim will fit right away in 5 betzim, and 1 and a fifth betzim that's left over will fit into 1 betzah. 6 betzim is a log. So that's what midat Yerushalmi will have, that additional log v'chomesh v'betzah v'chomesh betzah midbari, exactly in an additional log, which makes the midat Yerushalmi 6 lugim. Betzah gedolim nimsa halog chaser betzah gedola, 10 betzah v'chomesh betzah ta' betzah gedola, shachomesh u'shtut meleba, nosaf ala betzah nimsu 6 betzim gedolim, שם לא גדול אין שישה לוגין ירושלמית דאג דהן קו ומחסה משגדילו המידות היא מידת ציפורי שעודפים שטות על ירושלמית. It's an additional sixth over the ירושלמית. So the same mathematics that you went from מדברי to מדברי to ירושלמית, you do that ירושלמית to ציפורית and you come out with your calculations. Comes the Gemara further. That's the first machlok between Hillel and Shammai. Hillel omer, second machlok, and Hillel said, Melohin mayim she'uvin poslin etam mikveh. He said that a shi'ur of a heen of mayim. Now heen is not on our chart, because heen is a biblical word. A heen equals, as she says, 12 log. So 12 log of water is posel a mikveh if it is drawn. Meaning, the law is once you have a kosher mikveh of 40 seah of rainwater, it doesn't matter what you put in the mikveh after that, because you have a kosher mikveh already. But to make a mikveh, which means you're less than 40 seah, Hillel says, once you put 12 log of mayim she'uvin to complete the shiur of mikveh, that renders the mikveh pasul. His shiur is 12 lugin, which is, he calls it a heen. So the Gemara says, Shehayab Adam Nomar Bilshon Rabbo. A student should try to use the terminology that his rabbi uses. And the Gemara is bothered because really we don't use that word heen. The rabbis would say 12 lugin. Why would he use the biblical term? So the Rashi explains to us that Hillel's rabbis were Shemayan Avtalyon. Shemayan Avtalyon used the word heen. That's the way they said it. So Hillel wants to keep precise the way his rabbis would say the terminology. So he said the word heen. Now, so that's Hillel's opinion. Shammai Omer Tisha Kabil. Shammai comes along and says the shi'ur of water that's posel the mikveh would be 9 kabin. Now, based on our chart of kav, there is 4 lugin to each kav. So therefore, if he's saying 9 kabin, Hillel is saying 36 log will posel a mikveh. So again, while Hillel says 12 lugin, posel a mikveh of she'uvin, of course, Shammai will tell you 36 lugin are posel a mikveh. V'achamim omrim, lo kedivrezeh ve'lo kedivrezeh. Hakamim argue again on both. Ad sheba'u bet gardiyim. Until once, 2 weavers came to the Bet Midrash. Where did these weavers come from? Misha'ar Ashpa. From the, I think they call that the Dung Gate, which is in Yerushalayim, Shem Yerushalayim. Ve'idu mishum Shemaya v'Avtalyon, and they gave a testimony from the great Rabbi Shemaya v'Avtalyon, Sheshkosha lugin mayim she'uvin poslin et ha-mikveh. They came along and said, it's not 12 lugin and it's not 36 lugin. We heard from Shemaya v'Avtalyon, we have a tradition, the shi'ur of mayim she'uvin as posel ha-mikveh is 3. V'kiyimu hakamim et divrehem. And the rabbis verify their testimony. Now the Mishnayot in Eduyot say, now what is the Mishnah to tell us 2 weavers came from Shad Ashpot? And just say there was a testimony of Shemayan Avtalyon. What do you have to give me the, you know, details of the trade and the locale of where they came from? So let's read Rashi together. Dibura Matkil Shte Gardiyim Mishad Ashpot. במסכת עדויות מפרש למה הוזכר שם אומנותם, why did it say their trade ושם מקומם and their place, לומר שלא ימנע אדם עצמו מבית המדרש. Person, no matter who he is, no matter where he's from, he should always come to the midrash and learn שאין לך אומנות פחותה מגרדי. You don't have a lower trade than a weaver. שאין מעבידים ממנו לא כהן גדול ולא מלך, which means we're not even allowed to appoint from that trade not a king of Israel and not כהנים, because it's such a low trade, כי דמים מקדושים. ואין שער בירושלים, and there's not a gate in Yerushalayim that is more low, פחות, that is more inferior משער האשפות,
than the dung gate. Look at what these two weavers did. They came along and they brought a testimony in halakha that ended up becoming halakha l'maaseh, that three log of water that sha'uf will poseh l'mikveh, to say everybody has a chelek in Torah. Jeez, when they came in, they didn't say, these are weavers from Shara Ashpot, pay no attention. Adabah, everybody should come to the Beit Midrash. You never know what chidush can be said by any person. So that's the second machlok. Now we go to the third machlok. First machlok was by halal, the second machlok was by mikveh. Ve'idak shamay omer, kol anashim dayan shartan. Ve'lel omer, mepekida lepekida v'afilu liyamim arve. This is a machloket in the first Mishnah in Masechet Nida. We know when a lady is Nida, she becomes Teme'ah, and now whatever she comes in contact with, for example, Terumah, will become Tameh as well. So the question is, Shammai says, Kol an-Nashim, all the ladies, from when do they start being Metameh things, like Terumah? So Shammai says, Dayan Sha'tan, which means from the time that they saw. Means, if let's say they saw Nida on Monday, so from Monday on, going forward, everything that they're going to touch is going to become Tameh. That's simple. What does Hillel say? Hillel says, no. Hillel omer mepekida lepekida. He says that if let's say they get their Nida on Monday, things become Tameh retroactively from the last time she made a bidika. Mepikida lepikida v'afilu yamim harbeh, which means Hillel suspects that yes, maybe it came out of her body on Monday, but maybe it was stuck somewhere in the canal from before Monday. And to be tameh nida, it doesn't have to actually leave the body. So long as it leaves the womb, even though it's still in the canal, she is tameah. So Hillel says, just because it came out on Monday, you have no proof that it definitely came out on Monday. It left the body on Monday. So therefore he says, when are you going to retroactively mitameh her? From the last time that she made an internal bidika. Because from that time, you know at least, let's say she made a bidika the previous Thursday. So you know at least from Thursday already she made a bidika. So from there, up until that point on, everything will become Teme'ah. Before Thursday, everything is Tahor. Because we know already she made a bidika, let's say Thursday morning. But from Thursday morning until Monday and going further, Beit Hillel will say, all the things that she came in contact with, we're now going to put Tum'ah on it. Because even though the Nida came out on Monday, maybe it really came out much before. So when's the cutoff point? From the last time she made a bidika. So we know from that point, we know she wasn't Tum'ah because she had made an internal checking. So therefore, Hillel's Mahmir on Shammai. When Shammai says the Tum'ah goes forward, Hillel takes the Tum'ah backwards. Mepikidah lepikidah. Now Hakamim argue. Hakamim omrim, lo kedivreze velo kedivreze. Ela, they say, me'et le'et, me'ma'et al yedeh, מפקידה לפקידה ומפקידה לפקידה ממעט על יד מעט לעט, which means Hakamim are lenient. You take whatever shiur is smaller, either 24 hours retroactively or from the last time she made a bidika, whichever of the two shiurim is smaller. Meaning, if let's say in our case, she saw Nida on Monday, she made a bidika, the last bidika she made was Thursday. Hakamim said, you don't go back to Thursday. You go back 24 hours. You take the smaller of the two shi'urim. 24 hours means she saw Monday morning, you retroactively metameh things from Sunday morning. That's the shi'ur of 24 hours. Let's say she made a bidika Sunday afternoon. So now, bidika is less than 24 hours. So then you go back to Sunday afternoon. Which means whatever shi'ur, each shi'ur, pikida l'pikida, is mema'et 24 hours, and 24 hours is mima'et pikida le pikida, which means each one of those two shi'urim minimizes the other, whichever is less. So that is the shita of Hakas. That's the third machloket between Bet Hillel, Hillel and Shammai. Comes again, it says Betuleka. Well, there's no more machlokot. There's no more. Va'ika, we have Hillel Omer Lismuch. Hillel says that on Yom Tov, you're able to make Simicha. Simicha is when you place your hands with all your strength on the Korban. Meaning you bring a Korban, Nedarim or Nedavot. Those are two types of Korbanot. A person makes a Neder or makes a donation. Hillel says you can bring it on Yom Tov, and you can also make Simicha. Veshamay Omer Shelo Lismuch. And Shammai says, no, you don't make Simicha on Yom Tov. So there you go, there's argument number four. So why did you say there's only three arguments? Ki kama Ravuna, when did Ravuna say there's only three? Hecha dedeka pedukta drabvata behadayu. Where they were the only ones that were arguing, when nobody else shared in their argument. Which means, in this argument of Simicha, the Gemara Hagigah says, was an argument throughout the generations between every generation, the Nasi and the Abedin argued whether you're allowed to make Simicha or not. You had one machlok between Yosef ben Yo'ezer and Yosef ben Yohanan, and then you had a machlok between Yehuda ben Tabaya and Shimon ben Shatach, and then you had a machlok. Every generation, that group of rabbis argued on Simicha. So that's not exclusively to Hillel and Shammai. We only discussed the three machlok that are exclusive, where Hillel and Shammai were the parties of the argument. Comes the Gemara says, what do you mean? Va'ika ha-boser legat. A person, let's say, is plucking grapes. He's picking grapes off his vine. Legat. Legat means in order to put them in the press, in order to make wine. What would they do? They would take the grapes and put them in a basket. The basket had holes in it. Now, of course, when you put the grapes in the basket, they start to leak. Some, grape juice comes out. Of course, it's seeping out because there's holes in the basket. But what happens is the grapes become wet from its juice. Now, we learned earlier that for something to receive tum'ah, it has to be mukhshar. It has to be prepared, meaning it has to have gotten wet. And the law of hakshara is it has to get wet willingly. Because you have to want it to have gotten wet. It has to be miratzon. So Bet Shammai says, since you're taking these grapes over here for pressing, that means you really want the juice. Now, even though they're in baskets with holes, and therefore this juice really is, you're losing the juice because it's seeping out. So technically you really don't want this juice because it's really seeping out. But Bet Shammai says, still, that juice that will fall on those grapes that are in the basket, make hakshara. Why? Gezerah, that we're worried you might come to use baskets that don't have holes. And since you're using it to make wine, that grape juice that got caught in the basket, you want it there, because that's your purpose. So therefore he says, whenever you're going to use a basket, even with holes, if your purpose is to take the grapes for pressing, then that juice that comes out, if it wets the grape, it's considered akshara, it's considered ratzon, because we're going to make a gezerah, you might come to use a basket with out holes in it, therefore for sure you're saving the liquid, and therefore it's akshara. So again, Shammai omer hukshar, Hillel omer lo hukshar. So again, you have another machloket over here between Hillel and Shammai. Gemara says, bar mineh, leave that case also. Excluding that case, dehai da'atam kashatik lehillel shamai. Eventually, Hillel kept quiet to Shammai in that case, meaning he retracted and agreed to Shammai. And even in the case of botzer lagat, it's considered akshara l'tumah. So therefore, he agreed to him. So therefore, we don't count that as the machloket. Yosef ben Yo'ezer, ish seredav, Yosef ben Yohanan, ish Yerushalayim, gazru tumal eretz hachamim, v'al kli zechuchit. Those two rabbis, Yosef ben Yo'ezer and Yosef ben Yohanan, they made a gezerah, two gezerot actually. Their gezerot were al Eretz Ha'amim. They said if somebody goes outside of Eretz Israel, the Eretz Ha'amim, the land of the Goyim, is Tameh. Meaning, person comes back, we consider him Tameh, he cannot touch Terumah, he has to go to dip to the mikveh. We assume that he came in contact with dead bodies, because the Goyim would bury their bodies all over the place. So you have to assume that either he touched a dead body or was ma'ahil over a dead body. So that was one of the gezerot. So the Gemara says, was this gezerah made by these two rabbis, Yosef ben Yo'ezer and Yosef ben Yohanan? V'ha rabbanan de shmonim shana gazur. We have it on record that the rabbis of 80 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, they made this gezerah of Tumat Eres HaAmim. How do we know? When Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yosef, got sick, Shalhu lo Rabbi. Rabbi went to Rabbi Yishmael's house and said, Emor lanu bet vegima devarim she'amart mishum abicha. Tell us two or three adushim from your father. Rabbi Yishmael's father was Rabbi Yosef. They say, oh, he was sick, so they wanted to get some halachot. Please, tell us some of the chedushim of your father, the Biyoseh. Shalach lehem, so he sent to the rabbis, Kach Amar Abba. This is what one of the things that my father taught. Again, this is what the Biyoseh taught. Kuf Pes Shana, 180 years, Ad Shelo Charev Abayit, before the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Pashta Malchut HaResha'a Yisrael. The Romans, which the Gemara calls Malchut HaResha'a, the evil, wicked empire, already spread itself over Israel. Peshana, 80 years Ad Shelo Charev Abayit, 80 years before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Gazru Tum'at Al Eres HaAmim. Already the rabbis made a gezerah that anybody that goes Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, is going to be Tameh. So already we see a date here. This Takana of Eretz HaAmim being Tameh started 80 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. We continue. Va'al kli zechuchit. And he also made a gezerah, which we will learn, about glass dishes, that they can become tameh. We will see what that means later on in the Gemara. Mem shana ad shelo charev habayit, 40 years before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, before the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, galeta la Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin put themselves in a self-imposed exile. V'yashva la behanuyot. They sat in an area on the Temple Mount that was called Hanuyot. They used to sit in the area called the Shkat HaGazit. That was their meeting place. That's exactly where the Sanhedrin are supposed to sit. But they exiled themselves to a different area. Now, by exiling themselves, it affected halakha. How? The Gemara says, what did that mean that they exiled themselves? At that point, once they weren't sitting in their offices, they did not judge penalty laws. Penalty laws is laws, for example, if a person stole something, so he has to pay back double. Paying back double is a knas. Or let's say a person stole something and slaughtered it. So he has to pay back four or five times. So there's a lot of penalty laws in the Torah. A person damages his friend's slave. He has to pay 30 kesef. So therefore, they stopped judging penalty, implying that you can't judge dinei kenasot unless you're sitting in the Shkat HaGazit. So the Gemara says, what? Dinei kenasot sakadatach? Wait, what does that mean? You think that they would stop judging kenasot? You could judge kenasot anywhere. You don't have to be sitting in Bishkat HaGazit. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela ema shelo danu dinin nefashot. They stopped judging capital punishment cases. Which means capital punishment cases, in order for judges to make rulings, you need 23 judges. You don't need the Sanhedrin, incidentally. You need 23 judges, wherever they're in Israel, can get together and judge capital punishment. The point is, if the Sanhedrin is not sitting in their offices, then nobody in Israel can judge Dinei Nefashot. So for some reason, the rabbis at that point, it says there was so much murder going on that if the rabbis were going to judge Dinei Nefashot, there would have been too many cases being judged, too many killings. So the rabbis exiled themselves to another office. Therefore, no judge in Israel was able to judge Dinei Nefashot. In any event, our question is, you told me what? That Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, they made the takana of Eretz HaAmim. But we're learning now that that takana was made 80 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. V'chi tema, but maybe you'll tell me, v'fe shana name inu havu. Maybe you'll tell me that's when these rabbis lived. Maybe Yosef ben Yochanan and Yosef ben Yoezer lived 80 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, there's no contradiction. They made the takana 80 years before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Gemara says, no, can't be. Ve'at tanya, because we learned in the Braita, Hillel v'Shimon, Gamliel v'Shimon. Hillel was the Nasi. His son was Shimon. That was Rabban Shimon, the son. Gamliel was the son of Rabban Shimon. His name was Rabban Gamliel. And Rabban Gamliel's son was again Rabban Shimon. These were consecutive presidents of Israel. Hillel, his son, his grandson, his great-grandson. When was this group of rabbis leading the presidency of Am Yisrael? Nahagu nisi'utan bifnei habayit me'ashana. We know that these rabbis lived, Hillel and his children, etc., they were in rulership 100 years before the temple was destroyed. Now, the ilu Yosef ben Yoiezer Isseredav Yosef ben Yohanan havu kadmetuva. We know that Yosef ben Yoiezer were much before Hillel. How do we know that? From Pirkei Avot. In Pirkei Avot, it lists to us the different pairs of rabbis that led Klal Yisrael. Right in the beginning of Pirkei Avot, we learn about Yosef ben Yoiezer and Yosef ben Yohanan. 5 or 6 Mishnayot later, we learn about Hillel. So therefore, must be, if Hillel was 100 years before the destruction, Yosef ben Yoiezer and Yosef ben Yohanan were much more, 120, 130 years before. So the question then is, you're telling me that the Eretz Ha'amim Gezerah was done 80 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. But we said that Yosef ben Yoiezer did it, which means it was done much earlier than 80 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So how do we reconcile? So the Gemara says, and we turn to the Amud Bet, Ela Atu Inu, which means Yosef ben Yoiezer and Yosef ben Yohanan, who were much earlier, they came along and they said, Gazur Agusha Lisrof. They said that if somebody comes back with a gush, gush is actually the land itself, you know, a clod of earth from Eretz Amim, and that clod of earth touches Teruma, they said Lisrof. They said burn the Teruma. So they said, why? They assume that in that clod of earth, there's probably bones and flesh of dead bodies, of Goyim. And therefore they said, the gush, the actual dirt of Eretz Amim, has the ability to be Metameh. That was Yosef ben Yoiezer. Which means Metameh to the extent where you'll burn the Teruma, as if it's a Vadai. But the air of Eretz Amim, the airspace, does not mitameh. Meaning, let's say a person takes a basket of teruma, let's say, and he puts it in a carriage, in a box, and he carries, it's open box, it's open on the bottom, let's say, there's holes on the bottom. So the teruma is being exposed to the airspace of Eretz Amim. The airspace does not mitameh teruma, only when it comes in contact actually with the earth. That was Yosef ben Yoiezer's original takana. The Atu Rabbanan de Peshana, then the rabbis of Peshana 80 years before the destruction, which was later, Gazura Avira Litrot. They came along and said, we're adding to the Gezerah. We're keeping the Gush Din, you burn. But now we're saying the Avir does Metameh, but not enough to burn Teruma, but to leave it. You can't eat the Teruma, you have to wait until it deteriorates. That's called Litlot. You just wait until it deteriorates on its own. So there was 2 stages of the Gezerah. Comes the Gemara and says, Lememra, the Hada Gezerta Ba Lesrefa. Are you telling me that the original Gezerah was to burn Teruma if it, a gush of Eretz Amim touched him? Did you tell me that was the original Gezerah? It started off with Srefa. Ve'amar Ilfa, we learn from Ilfa, Yadayim Techilat Gezeratan Nisrefa. We learned earlier that the Yadayim, when the rabbis made the Takana of Yadayim, that Yadayim are a Sheni, their original Takana was that if somebody touches Teruma with Yadayim, you'll burn the Teruma. So the original Takana was made, the original Takana of Yadayim was already on the highest level. You burn the Teruma, it's the highest level. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Yadayim u'detchilat gezeratan l'srefa. Ha midi aharina lo. It's mashma that Yadayim started off immediately that you burn Teruma. Mashma, other things, they didn't start off right away on the level of burning. Which means, in the case of Eretz Amim, They didn't start off right away, burned the terumah. The only case we see where they started off right away, extreme, burned the terumah, was the yadayim. Somebody touches terumah, it's time yadayim, you burn it. Yadayim tehilat gizratan v'srefa. Implying that everywhere else, the rabbis never started the gizrah with burning. So how could you tell me Yosef ben Yoreiz and Yosef ben Yochanan started and said, a goosh, if it touched terumah, you burn. So the Gemara says, fine. Ela atu inhu, revamp. Yosef ben Yoreiz and Yosef ben Yochanan came along and said what? Gazur agusha litlot. They started and said, if the goosh touches the terumah is pending. Meaning, leave it, let it just deteriorate. Don't burn it. Leave it, safek, leave it. Va'avira v'lo klum. And on the airspace, nothing. Va'atu rabbanan de peshana. And in the rabbis of 80 years before the destruction, gazur agusha l'srof, they went further and they said, no, if the goosh touches the terumah, you burn it. Va'avira litlot. And they upgraded avir also, that airspace is pending terumah, and therefore you have to let it deteriorate. So therefore the original takana was from Yosef ben Yoreiz, litlot, and then the rabbis of 80 years before went to the next level and said, lisrof. So that so far was the progression. Gemara cannot accept that. Ve'akate still, be'usha gazur. The law of Gush, of Eretz Ha'amim, was not made, not by Yosef ben Yoreiz, which was much before the destruction, was not made by the rabbis 80 years before the destruction. It was made after the destruction, when the Sanhedrin was sitting in the place called Usha. Where do you see that? Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah. Alvav sifekot sorfim et terumah. It says, for six sifekot, for six issues where we have a safek, if there's tumah or not, we burn terumah for six specific cases, where the tumah is safek, in doubt. What are the six cases? Al safek beta paris. What is beta paris? That she says, what is a beta paris? She learns beta paris is a field where you know there's a grave in the field, but it was not marked. So you don't know where in the field the mit is. Now somebody transported terumah in that field. So you don't know if the terumah went over a grave. So it's safek. Hakamim said, safek, the terumah definitely went to beta paris. You just don't know if it went over the grave. That's safek, you burn the terumah. That's safek number one. It's called safek bet aparis. Ve'al safek afar habam eres amim. Here you go. You have afar that came from eres amim, where you don't know if there's a mit in the afar or not. We don't know if there's a mit in the afar, but we assume that maybe there is. So if that afar touches terumah, that terumah is going to become tameh, that you burn it. So already you see, hold it, I thought we had that already from the rabbis of 80 years before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Now you tell me this was done in Usha. So from this case, this is where the question is going to be. But let's turn the other four cases where we burn terumah. The al safik bigde ama'aris. The clothes of an ama'aris, that's somebody that's not careful in the laws of tumah, if his clothes touch terumah, the rabbi said, tameh. Why? Burn the terumah. Because since the Amaris is not careful, we're worried that maybe the Amaris' wife, who was a nida, sat on his clothes. He got undressed, put his clothes on the bed, she went and sat on it. She's an avatumah. She can render the clothes a rishon. So therefore, what's going to happen? His clothes can render terumah, sheni, etc. So therefore, but it's a safek. We don't know if his wife sat on his clothes. They said, doesn't matter. Safek, bigdei Amaris. They are tameh, and we burn terumah. Next case, v'al safek kelim anim. You found vessels in the marketplace. You don't know if they're tahor or not. You just found kelim. Somebody put terumah in those vessels. We're going to assume that they were tameh, and therefore you burn terumah in such a case. V'al safek harokin. V'al safek, I'm sorry, safek harokin is saliva, which means the rock you found, let's say, on the terumah. You don't know if this rock, this saliva, came from a person that was tahor, or it might have come from a zav. If it came from a zav, it's tameh. Safek, burn the terumah. Now, safek meragle adam shekenegad meragle behema. Or you found, you have a case where you see meragle behema. You see the urine of an animal. And next to it, there's another meraglayim. You don't know if that meraglayim is animals or human. Now this case is very mahmir. That she tells us this case you have a sefik sefika. I can say like this. Well, maybe and that urine came in contact with the teruma. So I could say like this. What do you mean? Maybe it's animals. If it's animals, it's definitely not tamer. And even if you want to say it's humans, who said it came from a zav? Only the urine of a zav is tamer. So I have a sefik sefika to say it's okay. Still, the rabbi said even in the case of the sefik sefika, where I can go lenient, where mahmir, burn the teruma. And the Gemara says, "Al vaday magaan." The cases over here are talking where the tuma definitely came in contact. Safek tumatan. You just don't know if the situation is tameh or not, but the tuma definitely came in contact. Surfin et teruma, which means, for example, you definitely know that the rock touched the tuma. You just don't know if the rock is tameh or not. But we're not talking about a case where you don't even know if the tiruma came in contact. Then already, Hakim said, we're not mahmir on that. Only when you know the tiruma, vadai magan, but it was definite contact. You know the tiruma went in the bet haparis. That you know, you just don't know if it went over the met in the bet haparis. That's vadai magan, meaning a definite contact, but you're supat on the case itself. It definitely touched the clothes of the amaharis. You just don't know if the amaharis, his clothes are tameh. That's first shita. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, "Af asafek magan." He says, even if you don't, if you're in doubt, if the teruma touched the item that is safek, so he says, "Birshut yachid surfin." He says, if the safek took place in the private domain, then we have a rule. Whenever you're in doubt in the private domain in the laws of Tum'ah, we're Mahmir. Remember that rule. Safek Tum'ah birshut yachid, Mahmir. That is, if the question of Tum'ah took place in a private domain, in a birshut yachid in private, is Mahmir. So Rabbi Yosef's Hiddush is, even if you don't know if the Terumah touched this Safek item, if that Safek arose in a birshut yachid, surfim the Terumah. V'achamim onim no. B'reshut yachid tolin. Listen, in reshut yachid, if you have a sefek, if the turma came in contact at all, don't burn the turma, it's pending. B'reshut rabim, teorim. Because we have a rule, sefek tuma b'reshut rabim, taor. In any event, you have three shitot over here. The first shita says, no, it's got to definitely come in contact with the item. Second shita says, no, it doesn't even have to come in contact with the item. Even the sefek in reshut yachid, burn. Third shita says, no. Birshut yaqid safek, it came in contact, tolin. Birshut rabim tahor. Now that's the laws. But the point is, one of the six gizirot was what? That if the teruma comes in contact with a gush, with land of Chutz La'aretz, you burn the teruma. Ve'amar ula elu vav sivigot. These six cases, be'usha et kinu, they were all made in Usha. What are you telling me? You just told me that it was Yosef ben Yoezer, and then the rabbis of 80 years before. Now you're telling me that it happened much later, after the times of the Dushrashkin, when the Bet Adin was in Usha. So the Gemara gives the final situation. Ela, atu inhu, meaning Yosef ben Yoezer, Yosef ben Yochanan, gazur agusha litlot. They made a din that what? On a goosh of land that touches teruma, tolin. The teruma is pending, meaning you don't burn it, you just let it deteriorate. Va'avira velo klum. And on airspace, nothing. Va'atu rabbanan dishmonim shana. The rabbis 80 years before the destruction, gazud idi v'idi litlot. They just upgraded avir. And they said, just like goosh, pending, you just let it deteriorate, so to avir also, if it came in contact, tolin. Ah, v'atu be'usha. Then the rabbis of Usha came along and said, gazur agusha lisrof v'avira kidka'e ka'e. They kept avir as it is. They didn't change avir, meaning if it comes in contact with the airspace, tolin. However, they said gush, you make sirifa. So really, sirifat teruma, if it came in contact with a gush, was not until Usha. And even then, it wasn't even a Vadai. It's a Safek, because you don't know for sure that the Gush of Chutz La'aretz has in it Tamemet. And it's Safek, we said, Tameh. So that is the progression. It started off from Yosef ben Yair way back. It was re-discussed 80 years before the destruction. And then it was discussed again when the rabbis were at Usha. Now let me just explain to you one of the rules that we mentioned above, which is important to know in the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara. One of the laws we just mentioned was, Safek Tum'ah b'Rishut HaYachid is Tameh. Safek Tum'ah b'Rishut HaRabim Tahor. Now, that really defies logic. If there's any place where we should be Mahmir, it's in the Rishut HaRabim. There's public domain, there's more contacts, there's more things. Why are we lenient in the Rishut HaRabim when it comes to a Safek Tum'ah, while in the Rishut HaYachid we're more Mahmir? That's a question. So the source of this is from the Torah by the case of Sota. A Sota is a lady that her husband suspects that she committed adultery. Now, he warned her, do not be secluded with this person. And she secluded herself. Now, that's a case of, we don't know what she did in that seclusion. But that creates now the situation of Sota. Until she drinks the water, she is forbidden to her husband. Mm-hmm. Now that's a classical case of Safik Tum'ah Birshut HaYachid. Because where does the seclusion of the Sota take place? In the private domain. So you see the Torah is telling you Safik Tum'ah Birshut HaYachid. What do we tell her? She's Tameh, meaning she cannot go back to her husband. So since the source of Tum'ah Birshut HaYachid is from the Sota case, Hakamim said, whenever you have Safek Tum'ah Birshut HaYachid, Tameh. Now let's say that Sota was with that guy in the Rishut HaRabim. You don't know if they did anything. He's Teorah. So you see Safek Tum'ah Birshut HaRabim, Teorah. So the source of this deen is from the Sota. So that's why we could, you'll always see in Shas, Chilukim between the two opinions. So bottom line, we establish a few things today. Number one, we established the three mahlokot of Hillel and Shammai. We established over here the takana of Yosef ben Yo'ezer, which comes out it was in three stages. Started with the rabbis, Yosef ben Yo'ezer, which let's say 120 to 30 years before the destruction. 80 years before it was revisited, and the deen of Sirifat Teruma was not until the rabbis of Usha. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.